Apád, Paramaham, Sabrila, Kária, Stúr, Sisi, Mag, Esi, Bakin, Svai, Marad, Sila, Prabhupád, Jayom, Nitya, Lila, Pravista, Om, Vishnu, Pád, Paramaham, Sabrila, Kária, Stúr, Sisi, Mag, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Sri Thakur, Marad, Prabhupád, Ki, Anand, Koti, Vaishnav, Bhavati, Jai, Namacharya, Sila, Hridas, Thakur, Kri, Rupa, Shishanatan, Bhadra, Gunasi, Jiva, Gopal, Bhatadas, Sarvagunat, Sarga, Swami, Prabhu, Ki, Jai, Nasakho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadhara Sivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyam Kunrara Kundri Govdhan Ki Jai Braj Bhumi Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Jonamai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaja Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Hari Nam Sankirtan Yoga Ki Jai Jai Sisi Radha Langanishwara Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Ki Jai Sisi Gaurinitai Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaur Purnima Utsav Ki Jai Nai Gaur Premanand Ki Jai All glories to Samadhi Gaur Glories to Samadhi Gaur All glories to Samadhi Gaur Glories to Samadhi Gaur Sri Guru Sri Gaur Premanand Ki Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Nitya Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
So we'll be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita This is Adilila, chapter 13, entitled The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So since today we are celebrating Gaur Purnima, it is appropriate that we remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for me, I understand that Gaur Purnima is every day. Because at night when you go to sleep, we don't know whether we're going to wake up tomorrow morning or not. As a new day begins at sunrise, similarly our new beginning begins. Because every day I say, the beginning of the new day. So when the new day begins, we start again. So although we consider ourselves that we were born in such and such a date, and now we are XYZ number of years old, regardless of that, every day is a new birth for a devotee. Because for a devotee, he thinks that this is a special mercy of the Lord granted upon me, that he has given me another day to remember him, to glorify him. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, when he started preaching Krishna consciousness to the world, he very clearly established the fundamental principles of preaching the message of Krishna consciousness, and therefore he introduced the world to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now Prabhupada says that this society is meant to cultivate Krishna consciousness, and then further Prabhupada describes Krishna consciousness means that you are conscious of Krishna every moment, not 5 minutes, not 10 minutes, not 1 hour, but every moment we should be thinking of Krishna. For a devotee who has developed some attachment for the lotus feet of the Lord, for him nothing matters except Krishna. So all of us, sometimes we are very proud that we have been fortunate enough to receive the mercy of the Lord. And therefore, now we are practicing devotional practices in order to improve our Krishna consciousness. And we consider ourselves devotees. And then we say, we are more fortunate than karmis. Because karmis are unfortunate that they have not been bestowed with the mercy of the Lord. But we are recipients of this mercy. Therefore, I am a devotee. But it is a big illusion. We are not really devotees unless and until we can actually follow the real symptom of a devotee. And we know from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam who are the real devotees. There's wonderful glorification given in the Bhagavatam about all great devotees of the Lord. And what is the business of all the great devotees of the Lord? They simply think about Krishna and nothing else. So when we look at our own lives and analyze how much of the time we are actually dedicating to thinking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, we'll find that we are very much cheating ourselves. Because in the 24 hours in a day, we hardly spend maybe 4 or 5 hours at the most aggregate time thinking about Krishna. And even those times, when we think about Krishna, it is not 100% with rapt attention with Krishna, thinking about Krishna. We are always thinking about many other things. Simply the process of chanting japa, all of us have experienced when we are doing our chanting of japa, 2 hours of japa, I say, well, 2 hours at least I'm remembering Krishna. But during that 2 hours of japa, the mouth is going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The ears are maybe hearing, maybe not hearing, because the mind is focused somewhere else. So we are also very inattentive by chanting. So where is our question of remember Krishna? One who is completely absorbed in Krishna, he would think about nothing but Krishna. So I read a little passage here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to understand how Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining about the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a little preview to the chapter Srila Prabhupada is writing, to the 13th chapter. The Prabhupada said, the 13th chapter describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. The entire Adilila describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's household life. And similarly, the Antya Lila describes his life in the sannyas order. Within the Lord's Antya Lila, the first 6 years of his sannyas life are called Madhya Lila. During this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toured South India, went to Vrindavan, returned to Vrindavan, and then preached the Sankirtan movement. A learned Brahman named by Upendra Mishra, who resided in the district of Srihatta, was the father of Jagannath Mishra, who came to Navadvip to study under the direction of Nilambar Chakravarti, and then settled there after marrying Nilambar Chakravarti's daughter, Sachidevi. Sri Sachidevi gave birth to 8 children, all daughters, who died one after another immediately after birth. After her 9th pregnancy, she gave birth to a son who was named Vishwarupa. Then in 1407, Saka era, A.D. 1486, on the full moon evening on the month of Falguna, during the constellation of Narasimha Lagna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as the son of Sachidevi and Jagannath Mishra. After hearing the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learned scholars and brahmanas, bringing many gifts, came to see the newborn baby. Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer, immediately prepared an horoscope, and by the astrological calculation, he saw that the child was a great personality. This chapter describes the symptoms of this great personality. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, before writing, he always prays for the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. So he said, I wish the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even one who is fallen can describe the pastimes of the Lord. Prabhupada says in the purport. To describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna's, one needs supernatural powers, which is the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Without the grace and mercy, one cannot compose transcendental literature. By the dint of the grace of the Lord, however, even one who is unfit for a literary career can describe the wonderful transcendental topics. Descriptions of Krishna is possible for one who is empowered. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Purna Tara. Unless endowed with mercy of the Lord, one cannot preach of the Lord's name, fame, qualities, form, and entourage, on, and so on. It should be concluded, therefore, that the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami manifested specific mercy bestowed upon the author, although he thought himself the most fallen. We should not consider him fallen because he describes himself as such. Rather, anyone who is able to compose such transcendental literature is our extreme master.
Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So here, it is said that we are sometimes very proud to consider ourselves devotees. But here the quality of a great devotee, Sri Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, he considers himself the most fallen and unworthy. And not just he's saying this, he literally actually means himself to be insignificant and fallen. And therefore he's praying to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his mercy. And when he's praying for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya sees that this person is sincerely feeling himself insignificant and fallen. Therefore he bestows his mercy upon him. We all chant the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Patita Pavana. He is the savior of the most fallen. And we see from the pastimes of Jagai and Madai that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved them. The most debauched characters, but still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved them. And Prabhupada says that because Lord Chaitanya saved the likes of Jagai and Madai, then it is considered that he came specifically to save the most fallen entities of this world. So, here, of course, in this today we are remembering the appearance of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is described very nicely that when Lord Chaitanya appeared, before he appeared, he was prayed to by Advaita Acharya, who is also a manifestation of the Lord. Lord Advaita Acharya is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as either Mahavishnu or he is also addressed as Sadashiva or Lord Shiva's incarnation. So sometimes devotees have a misunderstanding that when we see Lord Shiva, then we say, oh, he's a demigod. Of course, you know, take offense in the holy names, it is said that one should not consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal or independent of that of Lord Vishnu's name. But nonetheless, Lord Shiva is not an ordinary personality. Lord Shiva is actually descended to this material world for a particular purpose. And because he has come as a to fulfill a particular mission on behalf of the Lord, then in the spiritual world, he is described as Sadashiva or Mahavishnu. Of course, Advaita Acharya is also described as Sadashiva or Mahavishnu. So you should not get confused. These are both the same personality. It's not the Lord Shiva as Lord Shiva appears in this material world. Is the Sadashiva, which is the transcendental manifestation of the Lord, the spiritual world. The Prabhupada describes from Brahma Samhita that there is a transformation from milk to yogurt. Although yogurt is the same constituent of milk, it is different. But similarly, Mahavishnu, when he enters this material world for a specific purpose, he transforms himself. But therefore, he is playing a particular role. So similarly, there are many personalities who are also addressed as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, of course, in a simple Sanskrit language, means one who is possessed of all opulence and is a name dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, so that's why Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan is the name of the Supreme Lord. But sometimes we see personalities like Narada Muni also addresses Bhagavan. That doesn't mean that Narada Muni becomes God. But because he's connected with the Supreme Lord, and he's so dear to the Lord, he also possesses a similar opulence as the Lord. And therefore, he is also given the same respect as the Lord. But nonetheless, Advaita Acharya, when he was seeing the fallen condition state of this material world, the living entities were completely suffering, he prayed to the Supreme Lord, the dear Lord, it is time for you to come and give shelter to all these living entities. Otherwise, there is no hope. Now we see from Srimad Bhagavatam, the description of many different personalities of the Supreme Lord have come to this material world. You know, some are Lila Avatar, some are Purusha Avatar. You know, different personalities of the Lord appearing for different purpose. You know, especially, you know, in the Ten Avatar, we see here came as a Matsya Avatar, as a fish, Varaha as a boar, Parashuram, Lord Buddha. It's all different forms. Beyond that, he has manifested himself as different forms of Vishnus. He comes in many incarnations. But in all this incarnation of the Lord, when he comes to the material world, he displays some magnificent pastimes, which is unparalleled in this material world. But he doesn't give the love of Godhead to you. The only personality who really comes close to giving you something close to the love of Godhead is Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna also saying, yes, he surrendered to me. Sarva dharma parijata, mame kam shravaja, aham tam sarva pavyasa. First of all, sarva dharma parijata. He puts a very big condition. What is that condition? Give up everything. Now, I don't think there is anybody in this world who can give up everything. And a very rare soul who can give up everything. So we would miserably fail in the first condition. Then second condition says, mame kam sharamaja, you completely surrender unto me. And no other. That is also very difficult. Because we may make a show that, dear Lord, I am fully surrendered to you. But then 5 minutes later, the mind says, hello. And then they say, okay, I'm subservient to the mind. Because the mind is pulling you in the other direction. So where is the question of mame kam sharamaja? And there is no question of taking aham tam sarva papevyo. Krishna will not free you from all these bondages. So Krishna, although he says, I've come to give you this mercy, but there are conditions you've got to fulfill. Now, of course, Advaita Acharya is thinking, fallen entities of this world, how they can fulfill all these conditions? It's impossible. So he's praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you come, because when you come, you are coming in a transcendental mood of a devotee. And therefore you will understand what a devotee goes through to surrender. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described that there are many, many reasons why he comes. But principal one we know that he comes as a devotee to experience the transcendental pleasures a devotee feels for the Supreme Lord Krishna. Just like Krishna in the spiritual world is thinking that everybody is attracted to me, everybody is glorifying me, but what is that in me that is so attractive? I cannot experience that. So then he comes in the mood of a devotee to see what the devotees are experiencing. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to this world, he came simply to give freely the mercy of the Lord and give Krishna Prema freely. Prabhupada described Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent was the most magnificent advent because he actually broke all the treasure house of love of Godhead. And he inundated this whole world with the love of Godhead. He flooded the whole world. Prabhupada describes this like a dam. When dam breaks and all the water which has been captured behind the wall just comes with full force and he washes everything inside. And it floods everything. So this is the love of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he brought from the spiritual world, and he's inundated the whole world with it. And anybody who touches this love immediately gets attracted by it. And some people will immediately embrace it. Others, it may take time, but they are attracted. But sometimes, you see, when you go in Harinam, you know, and we are thinking, this is all these useless guys, you know, they have no attraction. But you don't know. They have subtle attractions, because sometimes they hang around and watch us chant the holy names. And externally, they may appear to make fun of us, But inside, the soul is so excited to receive the holy name that it will purify that person. And the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is touching everyone. And the very proof of that is you and I. Because if we analyze our own selves, what qualification do we have of goodness? You don't mean anything else, just goodness quality in ourselves prior to actually coming to Krishna consciousness. Hardly any, because our own activity shows that we were completely absorbed in complete sense gratification of this world and breaking all rules and regulations of purity. Eating meat, fish and eggs, taking intoxication or alcohol or smoking a cigarette or drugs, freely mixing with the opposite sex, and taking a chance every step, gambling. But sometimes people think gambling means going down to the bookies and make a wager, and they think that is gambling. But every moment you forget Krishna, you're gambling. You're taking a chance. Because without Krishna, you gamble. And if you lose your life at that point, what happens? You cannot think of Krishna. Because you're gambling. You think, well, maybe I'm chanting 16 hours every day, so you know Krishna will come to my aid, you know, so it's okay. But don't take a chance. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came specifically to inundate this whole world with Krishna Prema. And how he did this Krishna Prema? To the Sankirtan. And what is this Sankirtan? Simply chanting the holy name of the Lord. Nothing else, no complication. Simple process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And even the holy name of the Lord, we don't have to make research. What is the holy name of the Lord? It is already given to us in the most magnificent Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Lord Chaitanya has given everything. And we see from his pastimes that when Lord Acharya was praying to the Supreme Lord, that please come to this world and free this world from all this suffering, Lord Chaitanya sent his very special associates to take birth in the right places, who are going to assist him in his transcendental Sankirtan Yagya. So Lord Nityananda took place in Ekachakra, Advaita Acharya was already here, Gadadhar Pandit, Sivas Pandit, Swarup Damodar, so many wonderful Vaishnavas, all associated with Lord Chaitanya, took birth in strategic places to enable Lord Chaitanya to enter and then use the associates to spread Krishna consciousness. And as the right time was there for Lord Chaitanya to come into this material world, he created such a transcendental atmosphere that it happens to be Purnima. And not just Purnima, but on that day there is the eclipse. So general culture in India is when there is an eclipse, everybody abandons their homes and goes to the nearest water body. They prefer the holy river, Ganga or Jamuna. But if that is not available, then next best thing is any river or any water body. And they will immerse themselves in that during that period and simply chant the holy name of the Lord. So as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making the preparation to come to this world, all the residents of Navadip who are in the Ganges immerse themselves in Ganga. And chanting Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. They are chanting just names of Lord Hari. And in this whole atmosphere of chanting, vibration of Lord Hari's name, Lord Chaitanya appears to Mother Sachi. And then when Lord Chaitanya appears, he's crying. And all those people surrounding him, why this baby is crying? And then out of desperation, there's praying to the Supreme Lord, please shower your blessings upon this wonderful child. Bless, because as we read from the beginning of this chapter, as Prabhupada mentioned, Sachi Mata, she had 8 children, all of them girls, and unfortunately all of them right after birth died. So after the 8 children who had died, Vishwarupa was born, and then Lord Chaitanya was born. What would people think? That this is actually great blessings upon Sachi Mata, that a child is born and he has survived, he has not died. So they are praying to the Lord. And how can we pray to the Lord? By chanting his name. So they started chanting Hari Hari, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari, Hari Hari.
Lord Chaitanya became quiet. As further we read this chapter, because we won't have time to read it, because this is just such a long chapter, that every point, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took every opportunity to induce people to chant Hare Krishna. If you look at his whole pastimes, from the very beginning of his entrance into this material world, his appearance, he made everybody chant the holy name of the Lord. And he continued the spirit of that. And while he was encouraging people to chant the holy name of the Lord, in his youth, whenever he would see people around, he would start crying. And when he starts crying, people know by now, they've learned, that the only way to stop this child crying is chanting the holy names of the Lord. And immediately they get into spontaneous kirtan, Mahaprabhu is quite happy. This is wonderful. And later on, we see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started preaching philosophy. He tried to defeat great scholarly people. Now, again, his aim was not just to defeat the scholarly people from their misconception of this intellectual scholarship, but to bring them to draw to the conclusion that the conclusion of all the scriptures is that once you come, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That is the final conclusion. So just prior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a Shankaracharya came to establish the principles of Vedas. So we know from the history of how in the past, when people were abusing the Vedas for sense gratification, specifically animal slaughter, so our Lord's consular arrangement, in order to bring people away from this misconception and abuse of the scriptural injunction, Lord Buddha came. And he took them away from the Vedas and brought them to the principle of ahimsa, of tolerance and prevention of killing any living entities, never mind animals, any living entities, pure ahimsa, non-violence. So he brought that, and when he was preaching this message, people who were grossed out of killing, and they were not feeling satisfied and happiness, when they heard this philosophy of non-violence, it brought peace to them, it brought calm to them. So they immediately took to the message of Lord Buddha, and they were appreciating that this is now bringing some kind of calm. Because you see, those people who are free of violence, they're very, very calm. Those who are very, very violent people, they are completely controlled by more of passion and anger. There is no peace and serenity. But those who are very calm, very free from violence, you see, they will be seeing things in right perspective, that nothing will make them become violent. Because they are peaceful. Why? Because it's no violence. So of course, that was not the aim, because the aim was to bring to the real conclusion. So then Lord Shankaracharya came. And Shankaracharya came, he said, this non-violence is all very good, but we mustn't forget the Supreme Lord. So of course, he has to bring them back to the principles of Vedas. Now to bring back to the principles of Vedas, he has to introduce them in such a palatable way that it would be natural for the people who are accepting the Buddhist conclusion of non-violence and nirvana, this emptiness. So there is, yes, it's not emptiness, but there is something there, this effulgence, this the Lord in his impersonal form. So of course, that was little palatable for them. So they took to that. But what was the final conclusion of Shankaracharya? After coming to this platform, the ultimate conclusion is Vajagovinda, 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 Buddha Bhante. That the conclusion is just worship Govinda. But unfortunately, his followers could not understand the conclusion. They were so much attracted by the external coverings that they could not see the contents. Sometimes, you see, we get quite excited by packaging. That is why you see the marketing in the world is, if they want to sell their product, that content doesn't matter. It is the packaging. It's a fanciful packaging, you're going to buy it. You know, if you get, say, a box of chocolates, for example, you know, in a brown paper bag, and then you get this fanciful box with gold trimmings and all this colorful and nice design. I like that. It's the same thing. Chocolate in a brown paper bag or in a fanciful box is chocolate. It doesn't change. See? But we are attracted by the covering. So all these followers of Shankaracharya became attracted by the coverings because he was such an expert to bring them to this point of the actual conclusion of chanting the holy name of the Lord, that he had created a fanciful packaging in terms of his Mayavada philosophy. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this is not correct. We have to bring them onto the real platform of devotional service and on the platform of bhakti, where they discard the coverings and all these fanciful material phantasmagoria and flashing lights and colors of the material offerings, come to the real conclusion. So he is preaching very heavily to everyone and defeating everyone in the conclusions of whether it's Buddhist conclusion or Mayavada conclusion. Nobody could defeat Nimai Pandit. Finally, he's getting success. There's nobody now ready to challenge him. Everybody's fearful. Whenever they hear that Nimai is in town, young boy, anyone that stole what person who's very fully mature and full knowledge of Vedas would avoid him. Because two things will happen there. One, of course, Lord Chaitanya will defeat him. And second, his ego won't be able to handle it, because a young boy comes and defeats you, it is not palatable. You know, even in our present life, if someone who is a young kid comes and defeats you in an argument, it's not going to be very happy situation for your ego. You'll be very painful. You can imagine that all these stalwart scholars can get defeated by Nimai, a young boy. So they were avoiding him. And as he was trying to bring people to the real conclusion, and later on he went to Gaya when he met his spiritual master. Because the Lord doesn't need a spiritual master, but he's showing here to us, living entities, by his own personal example, that you need a bona fide spiritual master to guide you in a spiritual path. And you must be connected in a bona fide way through the disciple succession. So he established that by accepting Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri knew very well that this person is not just an ordinary person coming to take shelter of him. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is considering himself very fortunate that he is in that position to be his spiritual master. And to, not that he is his spiritual master, but in that capacity of spiritual master, he is so much feeling great ecstasy that the Lord has given him the opportunity to render service to him. And when he is serving Lord Chaitanya by accepting him as his disciple, then he gives him instruction. He's saying, give up all these discourses, all this scholarship, because really, you don't need to be an intellectual to understand the holy name of the Lord. Simply spread this holy name of the Lord everywhere. So from that moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no more discussions now, only chanting. And every moment he had, he was just chanting. Throughout his entire travels all over India, he just spread the holy names. He would just hold massive kirtans. And massive kirtans in such ecstasy that anybody who would hear the sound vibration of the holy names being chanted, the holy name Hare Krishna kirtan, they would be completely drowned in the love of Krishna. Because as soon as his chanting goes on, it spreads to the air and to the ear holes of everyone who hears. And immediately, they would be completely freed from all attachments and take to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shelter. To the extent that not just human beings, but when he was going through Jharkhand forest, all the animals were jumping up and down in ecstasy and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now, you know, it is unheard of a tiger and a deer befriending each other and joyously chanting the holy names. But we see that famous picture which Prabhupada says is windows to the spiritual world. But the descriptions are given. And then the artist, through understanding the descriptions of the pastime of Lord Chaitanya in Jharkhanda, he puts it on a canvas. Mahaprabhu in ecstasy chanting, and then he's surrounded by all these wild animals, completely absorbed in holy name. Completely, you know, they are not concerned now with the body, because they have surpassed the bodily consciousness. You know, tiger forgets his entire body. He actually realizes he's a spirit soul. And the deer is realizing he's a spirit soul. And when the deer and the tiger are together, they don't like say, "Hey, it's my food." You know? He just says, "Here is another spirit soul of Vaishnava. So fortunate, yes, chanting the holy names together and with in the presence of the Supreme Lord. So wonderful." Now, this is the actual ecstasy of chanting the holy name of the Lord. When you actually absorb in chanting the holy name of the Lord, you go beyond the bodily concept. You get free from bodily conditioning. So sometimes when you are doing a fight of kirtan, you know, and you completely absorb in chanting and dancing, you forget your surroundings. Sometimes, you know, when we are in the kirtan, and sometimes we are self-conscious, then we are actually mindful that, you know, what do people say? You know, if I go completely banana chanting like a madman, you know, doing cartwheels, people say, "Well, but when you are completely absorbed, and you don't see anything, but you're just absorbed in the sound vibration, the holy names, and you forget yourself for that moment. But unfortunately, when we get into that spirit of fired up kirtans, it is very short lived. But after that, you know, we come down to earth and say, "Well, you know, get back to normal life." And you don't. But if you experience something wonderful, would you like to do it all the time?
Yes.
So that is the real goal of life. So if you really like something, then you do it all the time. But unfortunately, you know, even though we have been given the opportunity to become devotees of the Supreme Lord, come to the platform of devotional service, understand so much knowledge through Prabhupada's books, through hearing from different speakers, through associating with the Vaishnavas, all perfect condition and situation, still we need a reason. You know, like today is Gaur Purnima, you know, very fired up, kirtan going on, and throughout the day, you know, we'll be thinking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Come tomorrow, what will happen? Niti greeting. Five people. Guru Puja, same five people. What happened? What happened? The Lord is there. He's every day gloriously waiting to give us his association and give us opportunity to immerse in the transcendental prema of Krishna through the holy names. We need a reasoning. That's why I was speaking to Rajivar. What is you want to come to pick me up? Premanava? Prabhu, I was speaking to him. I said, "We are so unfortunate that, you know, we need Gaur Purnima day to remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We need Janamashtami to remember Krishna. We need Ram Navami to remember Rama. We need Narsingadeva's appearance to remember Narsingadeva. You know, we need Radhashtami to remember Radharani's mercy upon us. But every day we can remember. You think Radharani Ishwar is a part-time god? He would come, you know, part time. You are here, you're not here. He's here all the time. He doesn't abandon his altar. Of course, Lord Jagannath sometimes abandons his altar. But that is for a higher cause. He said, "People are not coming to me, let me go to the people." So even then, he's not abandoning the people. He wants to be with the devotees. And he's saying, out on the streets, even though they don't appear to be, you know, shaven-headed and tilak and sika and wearing dhoti kurta or sari, he sees them as devotees. That's why he goes out into the streets of London to see everyone and say, "Here, I'm here. Come on, take the mercy. I want to give it to you." And he does give mercy. So the Lord is there every day. We don't need reason to do a fire kirtan. Every day the Lord is waiting. For what? He doesn't want to see that you come and, you know, put nice decorative costume on him and you dress him with flowers and fake jewelry. You think he's concerned with fake jewelry? Who would be concerned with fake jewelry? Give him the real thing. Because, you know, you and I, if someone gives you a fake diamond necklace, it's crystal stones. Give you a real diamond. Wow! We appreciate it. So you think the Lord is going to appreciate it? No. But the Lord knows our condition, that we cannot give him the real thing in terms of jewelry. Sometimes in the flowers, we have to give him fake flowers, you know, silk flowers, because you know the real flowers are maybe too costly and we don't have the money. But the Lord said, that is okay also. But at least in the holy name, don't cheat me. Give me the real thing. Give me the real kirtan. You know. So when we are in front of the Lord and we are fired up in kirtan, give the real thing, because that is at least that we can give him, which is real. You know, decorations and everything else may not be the real thing. Maybe not even the best in the world, but maybe that is the best what we have. So Krishna said, that is fine. But the holy name of the Lord, give him the real thing. The real thing means that we should chant with our hearts, not with our intellect. Because generally, you know, when you come here, say, okay, Adi chant, Kartas, Madanga, let's go. And you start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And you come from the heart, spontaneous. Why? Because you love the Lord. And the only way to express your love for the Supreme Lord is through His holy name. And that is so freely given to us. He's not charging us anything. And by the grace of the Lord, He has even given us the power of speech. We just use that power of speech to chant the holy names of the Lord. The power of hearing is given. Just use that for hearing the holy name of the Lord. But most of us in this material world, we are so conditioned that we appreciate on an intellectual level, yes, I must chant japa, I must do kirtan, I must read Bhagavatam, I must listen lecture. So we do this on an intellectual level. But besides that, when there's some mundane sound, we're quite happy to hear. Why? Because we have attraction for it. And this attraction is so deep-rooted that it can only be vanquished from the heart by replacing it with the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, it will be there all the time. I was giving this one example that 3 months back, I was on my way to the Heathrow Airport, go to India. So I was sitting in my car, and it wasn't so bad. It was in November, so it was not quite freezing, but it was pleasant. So I unwind my window, so I'm sitting there, traffic light, can do nothing about it, you got to stop. So this car is stopped at the traffic light, there's a car next door to me. And his window is also rolled down, and he's playing some music from the 70s. And I'm like, wow! And the next thing, I'm chanting the lyrics of that song. Now, hey, wait a minute, what am I doing here? This is carny nonsense. I'm a devotee. Why am I here? But it is so deep rooted in my brain that it just needed a little stimulus. Because since I joined the temple in late 1979, I've never heard this song. So you can imagine, from 1979 to now, 2011 December or November, it's almost 35 years. I've not heard the song in 35 years. I wouldn't have thought 35 years ago, such a long time, I must have been forgetful of that. I can't remember that. But just little stimulus of the music and then the lyrics, and it kept just flowing. It's a good God. So deep rooted this song in my brain. How to get rid of it? Now I'm hearing Hare Krishna Kirtan every day for 35 years. But it doesn't come natural. You know? I have to really, you know, get into Kirtan. But this song, you haven't heard for 35 years, and immediately my body's waking. Great song. And when you hear Kirtan is going on. It goes on every day. Don't say, wow, with Kartos, Mridanga, Hare Krishna, Kirtan, going, let me jump in there and go, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ah, you see, you know, you will see normally, I mean, this is not in a bad way or taking Mickey out of anybody, but just saying the reality. That there's a kirtan going on in the temple room, glorification of the Lord and His pleasure, and there's people hanging out in the corridors, hanging out here. What is our business? Our business is to hear the holy name of the Lord, and whenever there's opportunity, kirtan going on, we should be jumping in and just swallowing in the sweet nectar of the holy name. But we are not interested. Because we think, oh, you know, kirtan is every day, mangal aarti every day, guru puja every day, deity greeting every day, afternoon kirtan, rajbhog aarti every day, sandhya aarti every day. Okay, if I miss one or two, what's the big deal? That's a big deal. Because when the inevitable time comes, and Mr. Death is knocking on your door, and he says, yeah, you didn't attend quite a few harinams. So there are a lot of gaps here, you know. And the Death says, well, you know, my duty is to take you where there's so many gaps here, you know. He doesn't see what is there, he sees what is not there. Generally our concept is we see something, but we don't see what is not there. But Death, he sees what is not there. And all these opportunities which is granted to us by the Lord freely, we don't take advantage of that. We would rather hang around the corridor and talk nonsense than chant Hare Krishna. Because the serious business is the holy name of the Lord. The conclusion is Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Now we are very happy to say Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. So, three times, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But you forget, Eva Kevalam, only holy names, holy names, holy names. Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatirane. No other business, no other business, no other business. Only this. If that is a conclusion given to us, then why can you not accept the conclusion full-heartedly and say, my business is nothing better than chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, if I have some service in the kitchen to clean the pots, there's a fire of kirtan going on, then I have no choice. Because cleaning the pots is also kirtan. Why? Because cleaning the pots means clean pots. Clean pots means cooking very nicely for the Lord, and the Lord receives very nice prasada. That is also service to the Lord. And that service will actually increase our purification and cleanliness of the heart, which will allow us to have higher taste, which will give us that transcendental attraction for the sweetness of the holy name. See, it is very nice we say, Namamrit. What does Namamrit mean? Nectar of the holy name. We say, the holy name is so sweet. It's very easy to say, the holy name is very sweet. Has anybody tested the holy name which is sweet? You get Mangalati sweet, you know, pera, barfi, rasgola. Wow, this is sweet. I say, you know, here, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Is it sweet? Where is the sweetness in that? When we say, holy name is sweet, it's nectarian. Where is the nectar? That is because we haven't actually understood the real nectar. The real nectar of holy name is to understand that I cannot live without Krishna. And Krishna is only available to us in this day and age through his holy name. Although he is so kind that he manifests himself in the form of the deities. But even the form of the deities, although we acknowledge that this is the Supreme Lord, Radhalana Nishwara, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Gonita. But we don't see Krishna dancing and playing his flute. Prabhupada one time, you know, before Radhakrishna was in the very place, he sat down in his dress and said, see this Radhakrishna? He's exactly like the boy in Vrindavan. Prabhupada actually saw Radhakrishna as the young boy in Golok Vrindavan playing his flute. You and I, we see a beautiful form of Radhakrishna. But we don't see Krishna. It's going to take a long, long time before we can actually see Krishna. And he smiles at you, and then he smiles back at you. And then there's reciprocation. But he's there to show you that I have a beautiful form. And the attraction is there. But the only way we can really access Krishna is through his holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to spread the holy name of the Lord to all of us. He gave freely. And every opportunity, if you look at the past of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is inducing everyone to chant Hare Krishna. Now, when we are in the position to receive this mercy of the Lord, and in the position to chant the holy name of the Lord, then what is our business? It's two business. Either we chant Hare Krishna, or we induce others to chant Hare Krishna. We have no other business. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, himself says, Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you do Krishna Upadesa. What is Krishna Upadesa? You speak to them about Lord Krishna, the glories of Krishna, the beautiful, you know, descriptions of the Lord and his pastimes. Now, we meet many people. How many times we discuss Krishna's pastimes or talk about Krishna? Even a devotee meeting a devotee. Hi, Lord Prabhu, I haven't seen you for a long time. Where you been? Oh, I was in Mayapur. Oh, how's Mayapur? That's your conversation. After that, what? We go, well, Prabhu, you know, I just read Krishna book and, you know, Krishna was, you know, ripping apart Bakasura, you know, with his own hands. Do you discuss that? Do you discuss anything about Krishna? Very, very rarely. The only time we speak about Krishna is someone is given an opportunity to sit here. It's okay, time to give class. So then you speak about Krishna. But even then, we are not fully absorbed in Krishna. You know, it's described that Ananda says, who has millions of mouths, millions of tongues, and he's saying pastimes and glorification of the Lord in each one of those tongues. And he never repeats same pastime again. And he's been doing this ever since the beginning. And he's still doing that. And he still hasn't finished. Now you and I, we have access to the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically the 10th canto where Krishna's Vrindavan pastime, Mathura pastime, Dwarka pastime are described. And then the other chapters are describing his different incarnations and interaction with the different devotees, like Guru Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. How many, many wonderful pastimes are there? Then if we have to describe the glories of the Lord, we would have a hard time. You know, if I ask one question in this temple room, including myself, because this question is to me, can we really put our hand on our heart and say, yes, I can stand up and speak about Krishna for 10 minutes continuous? You would have a hard time. You would have a hard time. Because we hardly know Krishna. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, when he's speaking Bhagavatam, he's speaking 7 days, continuous, many hours, without stopping to think for a moment. He's just flowing. Does this flow from us? No, because we don't know. I was giving one class in Malaysia, and I said, I can tell you the whole Ramayana. Now, Ramayana is a very, very big, epic story. You know, it is, in most of them, you know, you find at least 3 to 4 volumes, which are thick volumes, describing Ramayana. And I said, look, I can tell you the whole Ramayana in just less than 3 minutes. And I said, okay, I'll tell you. Dasarat did the Yagya. And out of Yagya, he got the sweet rice, he gave it to his wife, Kaushalya, Kaushalya, gave birth to Rama. Rama was born, he grew up, he went to Gurukula. Later on, he was ready to be put on the throne as the heir to the throne. Kaushalya was very happy. Kaike was against that, so said, forget him, put Bharat there and send him to the forest. So Rama is sent to the forest, he goes to the forest, and he's going to the forest. So Sita says, I cannot leave you, it's my dharma to be with my husband. So she goes with him. Lakshman says, I'm like your shadow, I cannot leave you, so I'll be with you. They go to the forest. They're living happily, and all of a sudden Ravana comes to play mischief. He kidnaps Sita. Sita is taken away. Ramchandra is lamenting. So he goes looking for Sita. He meets Jatayu. Jatayu says, oh, I tried to save Sita, but I couldn't. He died in the process. So Ramchandra did the last ceremony. And went on further south. He meets up Hanuman. Hanuman says, yeah, we found this jewelry from the sky. It just fell out. So Ram says, yes, this is Sita's. So Hanuman says, okay, I will assist you with the Sugriva's army, and they went across Lanka, they killed Ravana, retrieved Sita, came back to Ayodhya on the throne, and a happy ending. Whole Ramayana finished. I think it took me less than 3 minutes to tell the Ramayana. But Ramayana is not just about that. There's so much deep understanding. You know, when you read the Ramayana, it gives you an insight into the personality of the Supreme Lord, Ramachandra. Similarly, when it reads Bhagavatam, it gives an insight into the Supreme Lord Krishna. And there is so much there that you can never finish speaking about Krishna's pastimes. You can never finish speaking of Lord Rama's pastimes. Because there is so much. I can finish the whole thing in 3 minutes and say, that's it. That's my conclusion. I have nothing more to say. That means I don't understand the Lord. Because if I really understood the Supreme Lord, then they would be thinking, oh, do we have some more time? Can I continue? Because there's so much to say. But you know, we don't. Why? Because we don't have enough knowledge. So the conclusion is very clear. It's given to us by the mercy of the Lord. Especially, you know, as I said, we are celebrating Gaur Purnima today to appreciate the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, you know, just Gaur Purnima is not just one day. Every day Lord Chaitanya is appearing to us. Every day is giving opportunity to glorify Him. Just like it's described that the Lord is Navyovanam. He's ever fresh, ever youthful. So every day He's ever youthful, ever fresh. He's appearing every day. But to you and I, He appears only once in a year. And it's a very short time, you know, less than, say, 12 hours, you know, from morning Mangalati to moonrise, and moonrise, you know, wow, you know. Like the manner we had announcement this morning, that fasting today is till moonrise. So we would think, moonrise, fine. Let us take this opportunity to chant the holy names continuously till moonrise. Now we say, wow, we're in England, you know, moonrise is at 9 o'clock in the evening. You know. We'll fast till 9 in the evening. So the manner that they said, oh, we have to standardize everything. 6:30 is our moonrise. How you can make the moonrise at 6:30? Just because my belly is not quite happy, you know? So in one sense, I felt it was not good, because here is the Lord giving us opportunity, especially, you know, here, you know, in England, this is not exactly your Vrindavan consciousness, living in a materialistic world. So Krishna says, we need more purification for our hearts. And because we are doing Harinam here for longer period, that Harinam is not just going to benefit us, but the waves which will carry the holy names will benefit all those who live here. You know, because the holy name is not, you know, maybe, you know, you need this mic and say, Hare Krishna, you know, probably here, maybe up to the next floor up. But without the aid of even the mic, you just say Hare Krishna, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna will go all the way 7 times around the world. Never mind England. If we are doing kirtan for more period of, I don't know, like the moonrise, then don't you think Lord Chaitanya will say, these devotees are so dedicated to me. They fasted 3 extra hours simply for me. And Lord Chaitanya says, well, it's for their benefit. No. He is going to be in ecstasy. These are devotees are dedicated to me. They actually did extra 3 hours fasting because moon rose later in this part of the world. Let me give them mercy. He will shower His mercy upon us like there's no end to it. But it's very cut off time. Lord Chaitanya says, hey, why also cut off time? Why? Because Supreme Lord says very clearly, Ye tama propiyante. As you reciprocate with me, I will reciprocate with you. So you are 6:30, then I also have 6:30 cut off time. And 6:30 means you don't get the full mercy, you only get 10% mercy. Because you only get 10%. Go the whole 100%, get the whole 100%. So of course, you know, I personally believe very strongly that we don't need occasions to celebrate. Every day is a celebration of Krishna consciousness. Every day is an opportunity to chant the holy name of the Lord. And the more you do it with joy, the more the Lord will be pleased. The more the Lord is pleased, He will shower His blessings upon us. And the more shower blessings upon us, then we'll be freed from material contamination, or attachment, sense enjoyment. And we'll go beyond the bodily concept. Because, you know, all the time you're preaching, you're not this body, your spirit, soul. Yeah, that's fine. But as soon as you get a headache, oh, Jesus, man, I got a headache, you know, well, where's the soul? Soul has a headache? Have you had anywhere in the scripture the soul has a headache? No, there's no description anywhere in the scripture the soul is taking a day off because it's got a headache. It's this material body which is a pain. And actually, every part from top to bottom is a pain. You know, in this body, if you really study in a proper way, you find that this body is pain all over. There's not one part of this body which is considered unpainful. Everything is painful. You know, your kidney goes wrong, it's painful. Your liver goes, your stomach goes, your heart goes, you know, your brain goes, your leg goes, your hand goes. It's pain, 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 pain. Where is free? The only person who's free from pain is the soul. But the soul has to come to its real identity and free itself from identifying with the body. As long as the soul identifies with the body, then of course the pain is there. So how to be free from that? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us a perfect way. Just absorb yourself in the holy Sankirtan. I mean, chanting the Kirtana, nothing matters. Because at that point, actually you are free from the body. The soul and the Supreme Lord are embracing each other. And when that happens, the body doesn't mean anything. It may be there, it may not be there. You don't need the body to embrace the Supreme Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has actually given us a wonderful opportunity to get out of this material world. As we read in the beginning, that he comes once in the day of Brahma. And why he comes? Because he wants to free the living entities from suffering, by suffering from millennium after millennium. And not every day of Brahma the Lord comes. And you know, your and my day is 24 hours. It's not so bad. You know, 24 hours we can live. But Brahma's 24 hours is a long, long time. Thousands and thousands of yugas and millions of years. So, you know, next time round when Lord Chaitanya comes, it's going to be a long time before we get his mercy. If we take it now, we benefit. If we lose it, we cannot wait for tomorrow. Because who has seen tomorrow? Nobody. All we know is our past. And from the past, we can draw some conclusion. That okay, I had a bad life, there were some good spark, bright sparks, I met a devotee, got a book, got some prasada, and came to the temple. Okay, these are the things which brought you to the present state, where you are now beautifully situated at the Lord Sila Raneshwara, and performing devotional service. But this can be lost very quickly. It just takes a moment to lose. What you gain with so much hard work can be lost in a moment. See, to purify the heart, it takes a lot of tapasya, a lot of studying, reading, so many things you got to do in terms of devotional rules, regulations, to become purified. But to contaminate this heart, it just takes a moment. Like a glass of water, pure crystal clear water, take a just pinchful of dirt and just sprinkle it in that, contaminate it. In a moment it's contaminated. So this heart also, with hard work of purifying it, can be contaminated in a moment. So we have to be very, very careful. That is why Lord Prabhupada says that this devotional creeper which is given to us by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but otherwise it wasn't available. You know, although the seed was there, but the seed to grow needs the right condition. And what is the right condition? It's Krishna consciousness, Sankirtan, which allows the seed to sprout. And as the seed is sprouting, it is taking hold and becomes stronger and stronger till it grows all the way to the lotus feet of the Lord, and catches the feet of the Lord, then you have completed your journey. But this creeper is so fragile that it can be trampled upon any second. It can be plucked down. I give this example of a banyan tree. You know, you may have all seen banyan tree. If you haven't seen one physically, at least you may see in a picture of a banyan tree. It's a huge tree. And no material force, you know, man-made force can pluck it out of the ground. Even to the extent that the natural disaster caused by the devas, like earthquake or tsunami or a tornado, will not uproot the tree. They uproot the buildings, which are considered a very strong foundation, you know, of steel and cement, but the tree cannot be uprooted. Firm and fixed. But that same banyan tree, when it's in its youth, when it's just sprouting out, tiny little, two little leaves come out, little sprout. And you can just pluck it out with your hand and just smush it. It's finished. So our creeper are like that. Very, very fragile. Because it was matured, then we won't be sitting here contemplating, shall I do Harinam or shall I not do Harinam? 1 o'clock there is Harinam, shall I go on Harinam or shall I not go on Harinam? You know, we make so many decisions. He says, Harinam, I'm there. Forget 1 o'clock. Let me start Harinam now. Why wait till one? Well, Harinam is not time bound. People out there, living entities are dying for Harinam. Why wait till 1 o'clock? Because we are 6:30 cut off time. And Harinam, 1 to 3. That's all we can handle. You know, you have to be practical in the sense that every time and any time is Harinam time. But because we are not so strong in our kripa, the kripa hasn't developed strongly yet. And also the taste, the sweetness of the holy name has not been acquired yet. So then we have no taste. But intellectually we know it's good for me to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore I'll chant my 16 rounds and I will read Bhagavatam and I will do what is necessary to be in a temple. Because if you start saying, well, I like Hare Krishna, I like the Pusaram, you're chanting, it's too much bothersome, the Hare Krishna, Hare. Temple presence says, Prabhu, it's time for you to go. You know, because this place is for those who are serious in cultivating Krishna consciousness. Krishna has given us opportunity. So it's not for those who are not serious. So at least we are here. So we should show our seriousness. And not just saying, okay, 16 rounds. Many times I say 16 rounds. These 16 counters actually is a curse. This is a curse. Because as you are chanting, one down, two down, your consciousness is what? Two down, three down, four down, five down, 16 down, Hare Krishna. That's it. Beatbag is finished for the day. 16 rounds, that's all. But we forget. Prabhupada says, minimum 16 rounds. He doesn't say maximum 16 rounds. But we are so eager, minimum 16 rounds. I said 16, you know, Prabhupada is so merciful. 16 rounds. 64 rounds he started off with. And he brought down to 32 and said, oh, okay, 16 rounds for you guys. And some are still hoping maybe, you know, 8 rounds, you know, 4 rounds. Because there are some groups who offer you 4 rounds. Well, I go for the 4 rounds. You know. But then you go for the 4 rounds, what happens? A few more lifetimes. Go for 16. Then maybe if you do seriously, then Prabhupada consider, okay, back home. So, you know, intellectually we understand all these things, but process is there, it's a process which is purified. It is the means and the end to our Krishna consciousness. So we just continue and take, you know, with eagerness and enthusiasm. But enthusiasm is also one of the qualities which is required to become Krishna conscious. If you don't have enthusiasm, then you'll kill your devotional creeper. The next instruction, Sanatana Goswami says, utsaha. You know, enthusiasm is required. And if you're eager to do something and you're enthusiasm, then it shows that, you know, you're serious in taking shelter of the Lord. Otherwise, we understand, okay, somehow I've come to Krishna consciousness, I've received the causes of mercy, I'm following the process, but we don't think today is my last day. I'm only 25 years old. I got another 70 years to go. But any time, death is shameless. It can come any time. It will not look at you that, oh, you have disease and cancer, okay, 6 months, 3 days, 5 days. Oh, you're healthy, I will not bother you. Death comes to the most healthiest person, the most sick person. To the newborn baby, to the oldest 100-year-old man. It comes to all. But death doesn't think, oh, it's a newborn baby, just starting fresh life. Give the time, you know. No, you just take life there and then. You see, you know. You know, they are stillborn child. Sometimes even not stillborn, but they are aborted. And before they start their life, they've been destroyed. So any time, this end can come. First, Prabhupada says festivals, Krishna conscious activities, all preparing us for this. We may not like it, but it is a fact of life. So, how many of us really today in this room can say, if death approached me right at this moment, I'm happy? We'll be not happy. Because we have so many things to do. We are right in front of Lord Jagannath,
Padmaneshwara. And death comes. What better place to leave your body? How many of us are ready to go right now, this moment? Not many. I don't think there are many takers. Intellectuals say, well, yeah, I'd like to go. But then, you know, ask the heart, no, I don't. A lot of things to do, you know. I'm a young guy, I don't enjoy. You know, I want to do service. This is another excuse. I want to do service. But then, say, okay, your Christian says, no problem, I'll give you another 20 years. Then service, 20 years, I've got 20 years to do service. You see, how the mind plays around it. So, we should try and do whatever we can today. Don't worry about tomorrow. What we can do today is to your credit. And if by grace of the Lord you get tomorrow, then you are joyously jumping up and down. The Lord has been so kind upon me that He is allowing me to do one more day's service. And take that opportunity and serve more. And our consciousness, our mood should be more, more, and more. And we do more, then we will be freed from material attachment and material consciousness. Our consciousness will be spiritual and will be completely fixed in our devotional path. And that I would consider a successful Gaur Purnima. Not that we have a nice decorated altar, you know, we have a program, we go on Harinam, then in the evening 6:30 you have your feast, and so wow, Gaur Purnima done and just dead the next year. No, this is not Gaur Purnima. Gaur Purnima means, you know, like the Lord Chaitanya, we read these words, and actually today, if anybody has time besides their service and other things, you read this chapter and see how Lord Prasanna Kaviraj is spreading Lord Chaitanya's advent in this material world. And he's saying every point Mahaprabhu is inducing the chanting of the holy name. So this is real Gaur Purnima. That we take the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and induce ourselves in the holy names, induce others in the holy names. If we do that, then I think that is considered a wonderful way of celebrating Gaur Purnima. There's no other way than celebrating Gaur Purnima if we do everything but holy names. So it's 10 to 10. I'll stop here. There's Abhishek today or?
4:30.
For afternoon? It's not like 9 or 10 o'clock, huh?
No.
Okay, no problem. So I was thinking it's 10 o'clock. So. Okay, so I will stop here. It's 10 to 10. And I thank you all very much for allowing me to speak. Some of my thoughts and practices of Krishna consciousness. If anybody has any questions, any comments, feel free. We are here till 4:30. Abhishek is 4:30, so what are you going to do between now and 4:30? I'm sure straight after the class, nobody's going to run out with the cartels and madam in the street saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So anybody who has any comments, just Prabhu.
It reminded me, I found a letter Prabhupada written, and there he mentioned that even you can close a temple and come back later, but everyone should go out and harinam. Mm. That is our first thing. I don't know where I remember reading that.
Yeah, well, Prabhupada told one time that, you know, I think it was one of the American centers, smaller centers, and they said, Prabhupada, we have no devotees to go out and harinam. He said, put a padlock and go out.
Yeah.
You know.
So my question is, could we do that once a week? Maybe get everyone to close the shop and go keep the restaurant open, maybe, but everyone is here. Just all got a big family.
Well, I don't think I would be in trouble and say that, because I would probably get in trouble with the temple president. You know? But you know, in all seriousness, there are certain things which we have to do. Take care of the Lord, because Prabhupada said that if we do not take care of the Lord, we will live. If the Lord lives, then we are finished. So there is certain responsibility. So the pujaris who have to do that have to do that. But obviously, you know, when the main service of taking care of deities are taken care of, then afternoon, say 1 to 4, the pujaris are free, because the Lord is saying, I'm going to take rest now. I'm going to give you a break. So that time, pujaris are free, and then cooking is already done before, because the offering is already done, everything. So, you know, temple management has to figure out how best to accommodate the harinam. And I think harinam is a yuga dharma, you know. And if you go out, actually, tell you the truth, you don't need a huge group of devotees to do harinam.
Srila Prabhupada was the original Harinam Sankirtan devotee in the West. He went to Donkin Square Park under a tree in this car town and went chant. The people would come and the Prabhupada chant. And then when the big crowd comes, then he would stop. Then he would preach a message and invite them to the storefront. So anyone can do Harinam. But I think, you know, you are so self-conscious that if you had to go on your own down Oxford Street with a pair of cartels, you think, well, people think I'm a banana, I'm nuts. So people may think like that. But you should go beyond that. Say, I'm here because Lord Chaitanya has given me mercy, I want to spread this mercy to others. Whether people think I'm crazy or not, it doesn't matter to me. Because if someone says I'm crazy, it won't make me crazy, unless I'm really crazy. If someone is saying I'm crazy, it won't make me crazy. If someone says I'm a great person, just by saying I'm a great person, what makes me a great person? Either I'm great or I'm not. I'm crazy or I'm not. So these things are irrelevant. You know, I would say that, you know, really if you have understood Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spirit of Gaur Purnima, any day, every day, any time, all you need is a pair of cartels, go down the street. And even Prabhupada said, if you don't have cartels, the Lord is so kind. It's only two hands. Just use your hands and chant. But of course, you know, we would be reluctant to do that because, as I said, we are so self-conscious for doing that. So it's not necessary to close down the temple. Of course, Prabhupada was saying those days in a practical way, that instead of just devotees hanging around the temple and doing nothing, maybe you go out and do Harinam. Because otherwise, what are you going to do? See, nowadays, of course, you know, we have big temples. So many services are there which need attention, so we have to take that into account. At the same time, go on Harinams. And if you don't have that many people, one person, two person, you go. And if you feel a little self-conscious on your own, then you find a couple of friends and say, hey, let's go, buddies. I'm going to do the Hare Krishna chant today and get the mercy of the Lord. And you encourage others. That's why Lord Chaitanya says here that he introduce Hare Krishna chanting and he induces others to chant. That is our business. If you induce your friends to chant, even though they may not have taken to Krishna consciousness, but they'll appreciate. Because a friend is asking a favor. So, alright, I'll come around with you. So you go, and then he becomes purified because he's taking part in Harinam Sankirtan. So it's not that we need to close our temples down, but we have to be practical. Right? One man Harinam, 100 men Harinam. Effect will be the same. Because chanting of Hare Krishna, that 100 mouths does it or one mouth does it. The potency of the holy name is same. With 100, maybe enthusiasm increases. But even if single, if you have more enthusiasm, then you can outdo the 100. Because the 100 may not have the same kind of enthusiasm than that one person. Because if you do something with enthusiasm, it will touch the other person. If you do everything on an intellectual level, and this is yoga dharma, I go to go out and chant, so you go out with the cartel there. If you think on intellectual level, then you'll just remain on that level. Krishna consciousness is not an intellectual level, it is on a devotional level, in the heart. So that is what we've got to do. So I would not say close down the temple, because I am not in a position to make that kind of declaration, but my position is what I understand the real meaning of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, and that is to spread the holy name of the Lord. And whichever we can do it, and we should do, singly or collectively. So there is no loss in that.
Yeah? Thank you, Prince Parantos. You mentioned some last time to Lord Chaitanya. I'm sorry if my impression has some mistakes in that well read in past months. But you said that before Lord Chaitanya appeared, eight children.
It's mentioned here that had eight daughters born. They died straight after birth.
And if I'm not mistaken, the same figure, eight children, can be found in Krishna's past times as well.
Krishna was six.
Six
were killed. The seventh was Balaram, was transferred into the womb of Rohini, and then eighth was Krishna.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, maybe it's just material logics, but quote unquote coincidentally they have some similarity in principle. So
Well, there may be some similarities, but there was a reason. See, when Devaki's children were killed, of course, we see the external, where Kansa wanted to kill out of fear. But, you know, in the previous yuga, when Devaki had some, I forget the story now, but those six entities were born to Devaki that time. They were supposed to be born and then killed because of some story. I don't remember that very clearly now. But there was but the one I remember right now, which is a similar one, is the children of Ganga and Santanu. When Ganga, she told Santanu Maharaj, "Don't question me my actions." And every time a child is born, she would go and put in the Ganga and kill the child. And then she killed the seven of them. And the eighth one, Santanu could not tolerate that, so she stopped. And that eighth is Bhishmadev. And it's explained that these eight children who were born to Ganga were actually Vasus, eight Vasus, and they were cursed to be in the material world to take birth. So Ganga, being very, very merciful, she said, "I will fulfill your curse to take birth, but I will free you immediately after birth so that you don't have to stay in material any longer." Because Vasus are demigods. So she wanted to free them all. But the eighth one, of course, could not be freed because Santanu stopped, and then Vishwapita was born. And of course, also, if you look in the history of Mahabharata, there's a reason why Bhishmapita was held back, because he had to perform another duty. But these are all transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and these pastimes are not done out of some chance. There is a reasoning behind it. And all these personalities who are born or die, you know, in the association of the Lord, are not ordinary beings. They are very, very, you know, pure devotees of the Lord who take participation in the Lord's pastimes. Even like Jagai and Madai, we say is like the most debauched characters, but it's Jaya and Vijaya. You know? So they are not ordinary people, they are pure devotees at the Vaikuntha gate, the soldiers who are taking care of the entrance into Vaikuntha, serving Lord Vishnu there. So they are not ordinary people, but they had to act. You know, Ravana and Kans, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranaksha, Kumbhakarna, all these are demons from our perspective when we look at the past tense, but then they are not ordinary. They are pure devotees of the Lord. So we have to see in that, but if you look, if you're going to research more, you'll probably find somewhere in the Puranas why, you know, this particular incident took place. But then some similarities there, because of course we look from a perspective from looking from our way, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are not different. They're the same. But I won't say that it's an exact duplication of that pastime. The similarity is there. Anything more?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in the first half of your talk you mentioned that most of our activities, even if we are trying to develop Krishna consciousness, are based on the mentality of gambling. And I'm wondering whether you could define the difference between gambling and risk-taking. Prabhupada obviously took huge risks, and he was empowering his disciples to take risks. So how can we see the difference between gambling and risk-taking?
The difference is that if you take a chance, okay, I will not chant now. And if some undue incident happens, and your life is lost at that point, that's a gambling, you're taking a chance. But Prabhupada, he took risk to spread the mission. He didn't take a chance, a gamble. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to send these three couples to London and take a chance, you know, take a gamble. It may happen, it may not happen. No, Prabhupada knew exactly what was going to happen. And just like is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna could have killed everybody on the battlefield of Kurukshetra with the snap of a finger. But he told Arjuna that I want you to take credit for this. So therefore I am empowering you, go ahead and kill these people. So similarly, Prabhupada is a pure devotee of the Lord. All these persons who came to his shelter, he wanted to empower them to become glorious in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Otherwise Prabhupada could have done everything himself, because he's a powerful moon. You know, and on a full moon night you can see how powerful the moon is, he can light the whole world. So Prabhupada could have changed the whole world himself, but he wanted his disciples to engage in the Sankirtan. Because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he comes here to establish Sankirtan and induce others to perform Sankirtan. So similarly, Prabhupada empowered. So Prabhupada did not take a risk in gambling way. So what my point I was making is that when we try to do something which is a chance that, okay, you know, I'm taking a chance, it may happen, it may not happen, in terms of, you know, remembering Krishna, that is gambling. But suppose you decide, okay, you know, you want to go on Harinam, and you take a chance that some people may come and abuse you in the street. But you take a chance that they may abuse, they may not abuse, but you want to go and do Harinam in the street. That is not gambling. That is taking risk on behalf of Lord Chaitanya to induce other people to hear the holy name. So that is a different thing. Taking risk to spread the mission is a different thing. Taking a chance not to remember Krishna is gambling. So every moment when we forget Krishna is a gamble. We're taking a chance that, you know, Krishna will, you know, come to me and I'll be able to remember him. You know, although we hear sometimes that Prabhupada says that if you're sincerely serving Krishna very nicely, then even at the point of death, when you cannot remember Krishna, Krishna will force himself into you, into your mind, and he'll allow you to hear the holy names. You know, he'll, suppose you are lying on a bed due to some very chronic illness, and you go unconscious, but then devotees all around you chanting kirtan for you while you're leaving your body. Krishna is arranging this. So even though you yourself cannot chant with your own lips, but Krishna is allowing you to hear the holy names. Yeah. Even though the brain may be dead because of you are unconscious or comatose, but the hearing and the soul doesn't depend on this ear to hear. The soul has got transcendental ears to hear the holy names, because the holy names is heard by the transcendental spiritual ears, not with material ears. But we just, in this, as long as you're in this body, then we have to use this facility to purify the body, so that the soul is rightly situated. So the point is that anytime you forget Krishna, it is taking a chance. And Prabhupada says, taking a chance is gambling. The Prabhupada, this definition of gambling is very, very broadness. He said, any frivolous activities is gambling. Now sometimes we are now, you know, we say, we have to teach our children to do sports, so then children are doing sports, and we also very actively become grossly engaged in that sports. It's frivolous activity. So if you really want to make your children, use up their, burn up their, you know, youthful energy, better you get them and say, okay, let's go up and down. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, you know. That is equal exercise, you know, put your hands up and down, and all these muscles are going, legs are moving, the body is moving, every muscle is stretched, so your exercise is done. At the same time, you're chanting Hare Krishna, doing kirtan. You don't need to go on a soccer field and play soccer. I mean, people may say I'm too drastic and fanatic, but I would say all those young boys and girls who have come to Krishna consciousness, better engage them in a spiritual way to burn up their energy, at the same time benefit by chanting and the holy name of the Lord. The soccer field, all they're going to do is, you know, run around across the field with a leather ball, kick here and kick there, and then be excited if you score a goal, you know. And that's not going to help you in your spiritual life. Because spiritual life, Prabhupada says, is a very serious business. Every moment we have to think, how I can remain Krishna conscious? How I can be free and aloof from material energy? Three modes of material nature must be kept at bay. So whatever activities you do, they will decide. If you're doing some spiritual activities, then you're completely free from three modes. Now, if you engross yourself in other than spiritual activities, you know, playing soccer, for example, is a mundane activity. I don't say anything spiritual in it. So that you know, well, either watching a soccer match or by participating in one, mode of ignorance and mode of passion is going to take over. And when you're in that, you cannot remember the Supreme Lord. Even in the mode of goodness, you're having a hard time remembering Krishna. What is your ignorance and passion? So activities which we do, which are separate from Krishna, are taking a chance. So Prabhupada gives a very broad example of gambling. We have to be mindful that this is for our own choice. Of course, this is not forced on anyone. You decide your own self how much eagerness you want to, eagerness you have to progress in Krishna consciousness. And according to that, you progress. If you don't want to take chances in between, Krishna says, if you don't take a chance, you take a chance. Krishna is not going to force. You see, like, for example, you know, I give this example, that when you come to Krishna and says, Krishna, I'm yours. As soon as you say, I'm yours, Krishna will grab hold of you. And then you're firmly in his grip. And then you say, Krishna, maybe loosen the grip a little bit. Krishna will do that. Because you're asking Krishna, say, you know, be easy on me, you know. I've still got some attachment. Krishna, okay, boom, let you go. On the other hand, Maya, whether you like it or not, she's grab hold of you. You tell Maya, let go of me. No. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to tell Maya, grab hold of me. She's already grabbing hold of me. Either we are in the grip of Krishna, or we are in the grip of Maya. Only problem is, Maya will not let you go. Krishna will let you go. Because he is not interested in forcing you to do something. Prabhupada says, Krishna is only interested in your free will. That is what bhakti. You come with your own free choice. So that's why I say, anything other than Krishna conscious activity, it is taking a chance. So we have to always remember how we can make the environment. Prabhupada was making many, many arrangements. Lord Chaitanya is making many arrangements. How to be focused in Krishna consciousness, how to remain Krishna conscious. And then we are free from any difficulties. We are prepared. Anytime we have to go, we are ready. The joy will be jumping up and down. We will be free from this engagement of this body. No matter how good his body may be. He may be in a 5-star prison house, or he may be in some third world country where it is infested with roaches and rodents all over the place. Both are prison house. But I say, well, I don't like to stay here because this is terrible and dirty place, and unhygienic. But a 5-star hotel, well, okay, I can live with that. It's still a prison house. So some of us have very nice, good looking bodies, very healthy bodies. Not so bad. And someone is not endowed with all these good faculties, and says, I'm not happy with my body. So if I had to give up, I'd be happy to give up. Especially someone who's in a very, very diseased condition. They say, I cannot tolerate this pain. And they'll give up. Or someone who is mentally very unstable, they'll do suicide. They'll be very happy to give up their bodies. They won't think second, they won't have second thought on it. That's why they just either slit their wrist or hang themselves, or take poison, or whatever, and kill themselves. So for them, but then that is not a good way to go out because it is going from one prison cell to another prison cell. So my point was that anything other than Krishna consciousness is taking a chance, and taking chance as proper definition is gambling. So we should be very mindful, you know, that if you're mindful and always conscious, then you try to remember Krishna every point, somehow or other, and you'll be a happy person. And then you'll taste the sweetness.
Okay. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask about the enthusiasm. You were speaking about real enthusiasm and enthusiasm which is just coming from intelligence. So what is the foundation for real enthusiasm? Is it that it begins with intellectually you have to do this?
Well, intellectually is because you have an understanding that it's the right thing to do, so you do it. Enthusiasm which comes from the heart is spontaneous. It's like you just want to do it for no reason. It's just like, if you think, I want to have a pizza in the evening. So you make an arrangement, intellectually. But if you love pizza, you're not going to wait till the evening or make arrangements. Anytime is every time it's pizza time. You'll be happy. Some people have pizza for breakfast, some have pizza for lunch, some have midnight snack as a pizza. Why? Because they love pizza. So similarly, when we love Krishna, we just do it spontaneously. We don't wait for it. That is enthusiasm. You just do it because it's spontaneously coming that I want to do it. Now, for example, you hear, in 10 minutes Harinam going out. You say, should I go Harinam? Or maybe I woke up at 3 this morning, so I'm going to take a little nap. Choice is yours. If you're enthusiastic to go on Harinam, forsake your sleep and just go on the Harinam. But rather than just, I'm feeling a little tired, and the mind is saying, hey, you're tired, you woke up 3 this morning. So take a little rest, because there's another Harinam, maybe a little late in the evening. So then you decide intellectually, what you participate, you don't participate. But you just do it spontaneously. And enthusiasm, that is enthusiasm. There's no reason for it. You just do it. So that's why in Krishna consciousness you just do it. You don't plan. You plan, it is coming from here. You just do it, it's coming from here. Better to do it from here. Because this is the center of the universe, not up here. The mind is just what we call a squatter. It's squatting in here. pretending to be the owner. So when you see some empty house, the squat is moving, they pretend that it is their home. So the mind is like that. But the soul is in its right place. By right, the soul has been given this body. So then enthusiasm comes from the heart. Without no reason, just do it.
My experience is like some days you have that enthusiasm, some days you don't. But then what's the foundation for every day?
And it's, you know, you develop love for it. If you love something, you want to do it every day. So like I said, Krishna is not part-time God. So enthusiasm is not part-time. You know, it has to be all the time. You know, another way of getting all the time encouraged, because we are not all pure devotees. So, but we are on the way, our journey is there. Some of us are making fast progress, some are slow progress. Nonetheless, we are all making progress. So that is a good thing. Now, in order to get the progress more, speed it up, and get more enthusiasm, be with the right company. If there is a group of devotees who are very enthusiastic, you be with them, then the enthusiasm will grab onto you and you will be also pulled into that wave. But if you try to say, oh, no, that bunch of is too fanatics, I don't believe that. No, I would rather be here. Then you won't get the enthusiasm. The enthusiasm, you know, you can create, generate your own because you love. The enthusiasm doesn't come out artificial. It's come out of love for it. So any activity you do it with enthusiasm. Why? Because you love it. You know, for example, an artist, he puts a canvas in his painting, you know, all this beautiful, drawings is coming out with colorful pen. And he's doing it with enthusiasm because he loves it. If someone doesn't love art, and you give him a nice canvas and all the fanciful oil paintings and brushes and everything, he's okay, pen. But he won't feel. But someone who loves that will do it. So this is like we see in this country, is the example of soccer. So Saturday afternoon football. The guys are crazy. They go out there in freezing cold, rain, and they're, you know, with their colorful scarves of their team, and they're shouting, screaming, you know, what benefit they are getting? The guys who are playing soccer are getting big bucks. But the guy who goes to watch this, you know, is freezing, and it's cold, rain, and he has to pay for it. But he has enthusiasm. You see the soccer hooligans, they go in there.
You will never walk alone. Blue is the color, Chelsea is the team, you know.
Oh, they see, they're crazy, enthusiasm. Why do they do it? They love it. Every Saturday, they're out there. They love it. But this is mundane activity. So similarly speaking, on the other side, the spiritual activity, when we develop love for it, then we want to do it for no reason. Even if you have to pay for it, you're willing to pay for it. Why? Because you're getting enjoyment out of it. Otherwise, you know, to go to a football match, you risk your life because, you know, some hooligan who's drunk, he may, you know, do some serious damage to you. It costs you money to get there. Tickets are not cheap. And you have to work whole Monday to Friday to get enough money to go to a football match to fulfill your madness for soccer. But they do it with enthusiasm. They're like, oh, I'm going to see with my team better. But they're out there. And if they're losing, the enthusiasm will increase more to spur the players on, win. That's enthusiasm. So enthusiasm we can generate only if you have love for something. And in Krishna consciousness, you have to develop love for the holy name of the Lord. And when you have the love for holy name, then you are enthusiastic to do it. Just like, you know, Pasaram, we all have enthusiasm. Pasaram feast time, you know, like 20 preparations, you go, wow! Sweet, sour, tasty, tangy, juicy, you know, dry, you know, so many different. They are just go crazy. Why you laugh? You know, because we look forward to the feast. And normal prasadam, rice down and stuff, The feast day you have some extra preparations and sweets and many things. You are enthusiastic. Why you love it? But that is only love of the tongue, not for prasadam. Because if you saw Krishna as prasadam, the proper expense, non different. There is rice, dhan, sabji, still Krishna. Rasgulla is still Krishna. You still get the same Krishna. But I don't see Krishna in rice as good as Rasgulla. I rather prefer to have Krishna in Rasgulla than rice. Right? Because my tongue is still intellectual level. When I go beyond, then there's no difference between rice and Rasgulla. It's both Krishna. Look at Krishna, Radha Ishwara. Look at his face, look at his hands, look at his feet. It's all same. Each one will be equal pleasure. Nothing will be any less. But you can't say, oh, I like Krishna's face because it's very beautiful, but his feet. In fact, we don't say, I would take the shadow of the lotus face of Krishna. I would take the lotus feet of Krishna. So anyway, enthusiasm comes from something you love. And that is where we have to develop love for Krishna's holy name by associating devotees and participating. And as I said, it is the means and the end to it. As you are chanting, the end is also there to continue chanting more. The more you chant, the more love you develop. So it's a different process. So then enthusiasm comes. And always be with enthusiastic devotees. That is the key. We are living away from them, then we won't get fire. Better to be in the fire. So.
Can we go for Harinam now?
That is not my domain. You don't have to take my permission. I'm sure there's a cartel here, and you just go downstairs and do it. And those who are fired up will come and join you. You see, you don't have no permission for chanting. I'm sure nobody will here object. If you want to go on Harinam on your own, nobody will stop you. And others want to join you because they are also equally lover of Harinam, they'll join you. So we don't need to get permission. Anytime. For me, 24/7 Harinam. Anytime is Harinam time. Only thing is that we are so reserved in our time giving to Krishna. I only go from this time, because that's official Harinam. It's not certain official Harinam. Anytime you chant Hare Krishna. Okay? Yes, bro.
So there's two questions from what you say. One about this Ganga killing these children. I've heard it so often, but isn't there a crime in the spiritual world, in the material world, that she did this? And second question on games. I believe Krishna used to play games. Does it say in Gita that we are forbidden from playing games?
Well, you have to understand, when Krishna is playing games, he's playing games in a different mood. He's not playing games for mundane. Because see, in spiritual world, everything is joyful. And Krishna's games is playing with his coward boys. They are playing with Krishna. That's spiritual, transcendental. Therefore, Krishna is the most transcendental spiritual personality. He is not mundane. So, Krishna himself is pure and transcendental. So, he will never do anything mundane. If Krishna kicks a football, it's transcendental. If Joe Block kicks a football, it's not transcendental. He may win the World Cup, but it's still not transcendental. It's mundane. So we cannot relate Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's playful nature to mundane activities. Because everything is there for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna is not playing by himself. He's playing with coward boys. And the coward boys are playing with Krishna. So anything they do is to do with Krishna and with Krishna, not without Krishna. You don't find any pastimes where you're saying the coward boys were playing by themselves and there was no Krishna Balaram there. There's always Krishna Balaram there. In every activity. That's one. Now as far as killing is concerned, of course killing is sinful, but certain acts which are performed to free someone is not considered sinful. It's done for a higher cause. Just like in the scriptures it mentioned that when animal sacrifice was done in the Yajna, it was done for a purpose. What was the purpose? They did not take good, healthy animals. They took old animals who were going to die. And those animals were sacrificed in the Yajna. And as soon as the fire sacrifice is done and the animal is offered in the Yajna, a youthful body will come out. For a higher purpose, to free him from the old disease condition, to give a youthful body. So there's a cause behind it. So those yajnas were not condemned or sinful. But if you and I perform today a fire yagya and kill a cow in there, it will be the most sinful activity, because that cow will be killed, but there's no useful body for that cow. So that is why it's sinful. So when Ganga freed the Vasus, because she promised them that I will free you from that. So she immersed them in the holy Ganga and freed them. So that is not considered killing in that sense. It was freeing them from the present situation to a better situation. But of course in the material world, then, no. If you look at from material rules, regulation, then that is killing. But we are not concerned with material rules, regulation. We see the higher cause. But of course, at the same time, when you read that part of Mahabharata, it is not giving you permission that you can also do the same. Because Ganga is not an ordinary personality. She's a pure devotee of the Lord. But she is delivering and freeing these entities from the further suffering. But you and I, we are not in the position. So we cannot do that. So mundane rules, regulations doesn't apply in the transcendental realm. Because there's a reasoning behind that which fulfills a particular objective. And that is done to free them from one sequence condition to a better condition. Then that is freeing. It is not just killing. Because you know, you and I, if you kill someone, that's it. We have killed that person and the soul is going to suffer in another body somewhere. And that may not be a better one. It could be even worse. And the implication for that is that because you kill that one, you have to also be killed. And then there's a cycle going on which you can't come out. Whereas it's not mentioned there here that when the Ganga immersed the seven Vasus in the holy Ganga water, that she was going to suffer for the next seven times. The Vasu is going to come and kill her again. So she promised them that I will allow you to take birth in my womb and then I will free you from further bondage in the material world. And you can go back to your original place. Because there's a difference. So we have to be very careful that we don't use scriptural injunctions to relate to the mundane material circumstances or justify mundane material situation. Otherwise we could be in big trouble. That is why we need to have a proper understanding of scriptures, we have to have a proper understanding of shelter of the spiritual master who will correct us if we are doing wrong. And under this shelter of the pure devotee and the scriptures, our spiritual journey is successful without any problems. Okay? Alright? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Yug Dharma Harinam ki
jai.
Sri Radhananda Vishwara ki
jai.
Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki
jai.
Sri Gaur Nitaya ki jai.
Jai.
Guru Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai.
Join us with Anvanyayana Maharaj ki
jai.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Maharaj very much. I know that Bhaktivedanta Nanda is extremely busy on this day, and he's taken time to come all the way into central London, into the middle of hell, as Prabhupada called it, to preach to all of us and be with us. I personally found it very, very inspiring class, Maharaj. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing with us, and I think everyone would agree, so please let us express our gratitude and appreciation to Maharaj and encourage him to come back again and again. We'll have to keep inviting him again and again, but please let us thank him by chanting very, very loudly, three Hari Bol. And Maharaj, you're welcome to stay with us all day. I don't know where you were planning to go, but...
Okay. He will feel a little
left out.
If he's left out, he'll leave me out. I better follow my own words.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So, what is that going to be in the Maharaj Ki? Okay, so now the next part of the program is we've got gifts. for everyone. But in order for you to get your gift, you're going to have to stick around for a few minutes. Maharaj will give a gift to you if you're leaving right now. Are you going now? You'll be here for a few more minutes.
I can be here. Do my right place in back. I have no choice. I'm what's called a hostage.
Yeah.
But
gotcha.
A good hostage.
We got you. Okay, so some of you may remember that last year we instituted or started a program where every Gaur Purnim, we have all the department heads, the devotees who are taking responsibilities in different areas of the temple, and we all come before their lordships. And since this is, of course, as Maharaj said, Gaur Purnim is every day, but this is considered like our new year. So we wanted to see it as the end of a previous year and the beginning of a new year, and we wanted to come and offer before their lordships our reports of things that had happened throughout the year. And this also coincided with the offering of our annual review to Srila Prabhupada, their lordships, and of course all the Vaishnavas. So in this mood, we started this last year, and we'd like to continue henceforward. I think this began, Bhagavata Sharapu shared that the devotees used to do that, or not, I think it was actually before Bhagavata Sharapu. This was way back in Burry Place days, that the devotees used to come every Sunday before the deities, and they would offer a report to the deities of the service that they had done. So this helps us to establish our mood with the Lord, helps us to remember who we're really doing all this for. We're doing it for Rahulanishwar, Jagannath Pradhi, Shambhadra, Shigorni, Tai, Giri, Govardhan. So like that, then we'll continue with this offering and report every year. So first, what I think we'll do is ask different devotees to come forward. We did ask devotees to prepare the reports ahead of time, so they can be brief and to the point, but also heartfelt. So we'd like to first maybe invite Murthy Manoharpuru to come, since he is overseeing the deity department. So Manoharpuru, can please come and speak something.
Hare Krishna. Thank Maharaj for a wonderful class. I was here, but I was upstairs. I was recovering home at the moment. If you see tears coming to my eyes, it's not ecstasy, it's hay fever. So I was recovering upstairs. Wonderful class. I wish I was here personally. So I'll try and be short and to the point. Dear Shishi Radha Mandanishwar, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Shishi Gaudetai and Giri Govardhan. We humbly submit ourselves before you, and for your pleasure give the following report for the year just gone. We continue to maintain a high standard of worship with 6 boga offerings and 6 artis a day. We continue to dress you both in the morning and in the evening, and are also pleased to offer you opulent fresh garlands each and every day. Throughout this year, we've been trying to increase the standard of your boga offerings. We have also been looking closely at ways to increase the opulence of your festivals, as well as the quality of your new outfits, which includes investing in more painted backdrops. On the subject of festivals, we are pleased to have introduced 2 new festivals this year. The first is celebration of Sharad Purnima, which is the special occasion of the full moon night of the Vrindavan autumn season, in which you endure your divine rasa dance. For your pleasure and the pleasure of your devotees, we had a special Shayan Darshan in which your beautiful forms were dressed in white, were illuminated by lamplight. The other being Gopastami, the day in which you begin herding the cows, and a day in which sees the enchanting pastime where Sri Radha, seeking your association, dresses as your friend Shubha. We continue to try and keep cleanliness and punctuality to a high standard, and this year are looking into how we can make better use of the small space we have to store and maintain your paraphernalia. Towards the end of this year, due to various circumstances, we have also increased once more the involvement of your wider devotee community in your service. Last year, we mentioned that 85% of the service is done by the congregation. At the present moment, they are covering 95% of the services. We can only conclude that this is your divine arrangement. A major achievement this year was the building of a new beautiful residence for your beloved servant Srimati Tulsi Devi. The total cost for this being 22,000. Dear Sri Sri Radha Landanishwar, for the forthcoming year, Gaurabda 526, in humble service to your pure empowered servant, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we beg for inspiration and empowerment to continue with your worship, and also to increase the quality and quantity of this worship. May it be without impediment, and may it be befitting your position as controllers of London. Shri Shri Radha Londoneswara ki jai, Jagannath Baladeva Lita Subhadra ki jai, Shri Shri Gauri Thai Giri Gaurabha ki jai, Rodha Pranandi Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mani Mahaprabhu ki jai. So we have about 18 department heads. All of them are not present, so they won't all speak, but probably about at least 12 to 13 are, so we'll be asking different devotees to come forward. I would like to invite Sudhatma Prabhu, and if you can go ahead and go, since Govinda's rush rep.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, the devotee. Did you see Shri Radha Nishwara, Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra? Giri Govardhan, Shri Shri Govani Thai, please accept my humble base of those who should have thought part. All those who assemble Vaishnavas. I'll give you a report on our Govinda's restaurant between Fruit Kitchen and Catering. We are glad that despite slowdown in the market and competition, we managed to increase our turnover. 2011, we made more Lakshmi than any other previous years. We made 94,528 pounds more than 2010. Sales turnover for 2011 is 625,450 pounds. It's mainly due to the hard work and dedication of our staff, and of course I should not forget to mention all of you and our dear congregation who are regularly visiting our Govinda's restaurant. Quality of prasadam is definitely steady throughout previous years and is having big impact on our sales as well. This is all due to our kitchen manager, Bhakti Jiru. We look forward to increase the turnover next year. We will be refurbishing the restaurant and kitchen very soon to give the restaurant and kitchen a new look and new facilities. Kitchen, I will speak now about the kitchen. And the kitchen is managed by Bhakti Jiru, who is now very busy to cooking for the feast. There is a big improvement in the kitchen area. We are cooking steadily nice prasadam for the multi-breakfast restaurant, where we are introducing regularly new dishes, lunch program, then we cater for different components, just to mention a few big orders such as Art of Living, White Tantric Yoga, and Charity Mind, for which we do on a monthly and yearly basis. We do for university program from Monday to Thursday. We introduce experimental cooking for homeless daycare center in King Cross that is organized by Food for Life team. Friday cooking for men's and ladies ashram is already going on for 2 years. Saturday Buddha Bhavana program is for lunch, but program is going on for 1 year. Sunday feast and festival we do steadily. We introduce organic milk for our use, then recycling. We recycle whatever we can recycle, even we recycle tube lights and bulbs. We have steady supply who deliver to us. We introduce deep clean kitchen. A lot of renovation is going on in the kitchen. Cooking facilities are much better now. We install interlock system in the kitchen. We replace old meter with a new one for free. Usually new cost is £1,200. There are much more savings for 2011. as we capture the groceries from the 43,900 pounds. we are spending 29,000, so we're saving around 40,000. We save on the dairy products. Before we spend 22,000, now we're spending 12,000, which is saving 10,000 pounds. But also paybacks, we spent before 4,000, now we're spending around 1,100, so we're saving around 3,000 pounds. So it's a credit card machine also. Before we spend 7,000 pounds, now we are spending just 2,000, we're saving around 4,000 pounds. So, yeah. This is an vegetables also we're saving on, before we spent 33,000 pounds, now we're saving, now we're spending 70,000 pounds, and saving is around 60,000 pounds. We are also conscious of our shortcomings, and we're praying to you that we can bring the restaurant to highest level of customer care and emotional behavior and nice cooperation between staff and department. We humbly request your Lordship, Shri Shri Radha, Nishwara, Jagannath Bhallu, Subhadra, Kiri Vardhan, Shri Shri Gaurantai, to give us better ability to serve all of you and your dear devotees for 2012 and future. We humble servants of Shri Shri Radha on us.
Shri Radha Prabhu Ki Jai, Bhakti Prabhu Ki Jai. Yeah, so the women's restaurant probably one of the most successful departments. As Maharaj was mentioning, everyone likes prasadam. So lots of people coming. I'd like to thank Shudatma Poo and Tira Poo both for working very hard in that area, doing wonderful service. Maybe Ram Charan Poo, you could come next in finance. So Ram Charan Poo is in charge of the finance department and also helps to look after patrons and different things.
Hare Krishna, Gauranga. Dear Sri Sri Radha Vandanishwara, Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra, Sri Sri Gauranitai, Sri Giri Gauradhan, Sri La Prabhupada, and the assembled Vaishnavas, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Sri La Prabhupada. So, I'm in charge of looking after mainly the financial control area. 2011 was a very successful year. As you know, ISKCON London is a charity, and charities in UK have special dispensations from the regulatory bodies like the Inland Revenue, HMRC, which is Revenue and Customs, who regulate VAT, and then also gift aid, regulated by the Inland Revenue, then Charities Commission, and Companies House. So all of them closely monitor what's going on, and especially in the area of finance. So we have to satisfy them as to the financial systems and procedures, financial record keeping, and also financial records in themselves. So we completed all of those procedures in 2011 for the year 2010, and you'll be happy to know that everything was in order. The regulatory authorities were very much happy with the way the financial systems and procedures, record keeping and records were kept for the year 2010. For the year 2011, we are just in the process of submitting the finances to the financial records to the auditors, like that. So 2011 was a very successful year. We had a surplus of income over expenditure of over 100,000 pounds. So it was quite significant compared to 2010, where it was nearly half, the surplus was nearly half. Most of the, of that 100,000 comes from a rationalization exercise that was done in the restaurant to basically reduce cost and, you know, as Shridharma Prabhu mentioned, you know, resource all the requirements. The restaurant purchases, you know, nearly half or more, slightly more than half of the purchases of ISKCON London. And so any changes made there have a huge impact. So that contributed to much of the 100,000. But also the other departments, is all of you contributed through contributing for deities department, then book distribution, the festivals like today, congregation development, community development, that area, then catering, all had a positive impact on the figures. So the success is also your success, because you are contributing to the bottom line and helping not only maintain but you know, make things even better year after year. Thank you very much. So I hope to, you know, basically take inspiration from that fact of the performance last year, and we will try to satisfy the regulatory bodies and devotees and the congregation and everyone year after year, and hopefully you'll shower your blessings for us to do so. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gaur Hare.
Thank you very much, Rajarak Prabhu. So, maybe Senator Tapu can come and give us a report on the Sankirtan department looking after book distribution.
So, for the pleasure of the Lordships, Sri Prabhupada, me, some of Vaishnavas, we submit last year's report from the Sankirtan efforts, and also a request and submit some goals for the upcoming year. So the one of the main highlights for this year was that all of the book distributors in the department, the full-time book distributors, were educated, and they underwent studying Srila Prabhupada's books very systematically. So they all passed the Bhakti Shastri degrees. So they were also qualified, not just distributing books, but also study the books. That was a major highlight. Then the year began with the summer marathon, which was very special because it saw that all of the yatras from around the nation, from the UK, we saw them cooperating together and working together and reporting scores together, encouraging each other, and competing together in a very Krishna conscious way, of course. And we also had very nice festivals. It was very inspiring. We had Sankirtan festivals where all of the yatras came. We had one in Leicester, we had Rath Yatra. We merged with Rath Yatra, the Sankirtan festival, and it was very a bonding experience for all of the devotees. So that was very nice. We had another major marathon in the winter, which saw some new book distribution talent coming through, especially Bhakta Lari Prabhu, who was coming through as a very surrendered and dedicated servant to book distribution. Also Bhakta Alexi, who was like a blazing comet. He was amazing this year. He was an amazing shining star. Actually this year he won the summer marathon here and also the winter marathon. And he was amazing. And also, as you'll hear later on, he was, well, you're there now, that he actually, over the whole year, he was the one who distributed, he was the top for the whole year. So, back to Alexi Prabhu. So, the, just some statistics or some totals from the marathons. In the winter marathon, we did distribute a lot more books, and we accumulated more book points this year than previous marathon. The Lakshmi was less. This is due to having a new book, not a new book, but a new version of an old book, the Bhagavad Gita, which was called the Hotel Gita, and it was smaller, and it was made cheaper to print. but we distributed them profusely with the help of everyone. And so we distributed more books, but the lecture was a little bit less. So the total for the marathon was 43,920 lecture points. That's in 24 days. And the book points were 24,283.25 book points. Hare Krishna. The yearly totals, the scores was, this is scores reported, there was 1,483 scores reported last year. So then there was 127,381 Lakshmi points brought in, and we collected, we also accumulated 55,903.65 book points. We did have some learning curves. Some of the devotees were finding it intense during the marathon, so we lost a couple of full-time devotees. And taking this in consideration, we also adjusted our program to give devotees also some variety in book distribution with the help of Krishna Das Prabhu, who he donated a van, a very nice van, it's called a Mercedes Vito. It's nice. It's a little bit old, and it's got some cricks. But he donated it to us, and it's very nice. And we launched the Nitai Padakamalam Traveling Sankirtan Party Ki. And we got the blessings of our head pujari. He actually came downstairs at 7 o'clock in the pitch dark, just after Guru Puja, after Diti greeting. And he did like an Adibas ceremony on the van. So he offered Ardi to the van. He put, I don't know, is it kumkum you put on the van?
Yeah,
and he put, made some Vedic designs on the van. And he sprinkled flour on all the rusty parts of the van. So it's blessed somehow or other by Murali Mahaprabhu's blessings, it's staying together. And we visited a couple of places already. The goal of having the van was not just to escape hell. That was one of the motivations. Another one was, not that this temple is there, but London, we go out into the streets every day, so the temple is very much blissful. But we went to Manchester, and the devotees very much enjoyed having us there. We give classes for the congregation, did kirtans, and the congregation had hosted us and looked after us very nicely, and we did lots of book distribution there. Also, just recently, we've just come back from the second trip where we went to Devon, which is right down in the southwest. And we, part of this program is not just that we go in Sankirtan, but we also meet devotees there and stay with the devotees and give association and encourage devotees in their sadhana. So we just came back from Devon, where we went down to Bhakta Neel, down there, and we made lots of new contacts, met lots of youth. And there was lots of potential down there for Krishna consciousness to spread. So there were some of the highlights for last year's Sankirtan. Some of the goals for next year, which we are publicly voicing in front of the Lordship, Srila Prabhupada and the Sama Vaishnavas, is we are planning to go to different areas within our preaching field. And this will be done in conjunction with Shrita Matsuri and the congregation development team. So we have different Namahatas that are going on, different Hindu temples within our area. So we're looking at a plan to actually go to these different places, distribute books in those areas, and at the same time give association, encourage devotees in that area by doing programs, and also just spending time with devotees. Like having a morning program and also reading Krishna book in the evening, stuff like this, to nourish the devotees in that area. That's where we're planning to go. Places like Guildford, Cobham, Kent, and wherever there is enthusiasm to have us, then we are willing to go to that place, distribute books and give association. Our plan is to spend some time, a week, 6 days, and other services only permit us to stay for 6 days at a time, and then back here for a week, and then as authorities see fit, then go again. So that's the time limit. Krishna willing. And our target is to the congregation and the Grihasthas who are willing to host the Brahmacharis, and also the youth in the area, to invite them to future programs which we are having, such as Bhakta programs and the programs that are taking place in the temple here. So, yes, we're trying to fulfill the mission statement that is come London, to flood Krishna consciousness with, or flood London with Krishna consciousness, and give people a chance to come and serve the lotus feet of their lordships, Shri Raghavan Nishwara and Balde Subhadra, Shri Gauradhar and Giri Gauradhar, Guru Parampara. And so this is our request and our goals for next year, and we pray for all of your blessings and continued support. Thank you very much from your servants at the Sankirtan Department. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Sanimatai Guru. So I'd like to invite Bhakti Leela to come, and before she escapes. Bhakti Leela, for the last year a bit, has been looking after the running of courses in the seminar. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Shri Shri Radhanathaneshwar, Jagannath Balde Subhadra, Giri Govardhan, Shri Gaurnitha, and Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lordships, thank you for giving us the mercy and shelter at your lotus feet. We are indebted for giving the service of facilitating courses in the temple for the last 2 years. By your mercy, we were able to offer spiritual courses to about 75 devotees and generate Lakshmi of around 7,000 for your services. This year, we are planning to introduce 20 new courses and enable more devotees and newcomers to understand your glories through spiritual education. Please bless us that we may be able to perform this service effectively and efficiently. We have no qualification, but your pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, has empowered us to preach through various courses and spread the movement. Thank you very much. Your servant, Vinaya.
Mataji, Mataji ki. So now I'd like to invite Baba Bhakti to come and speak about the counselor system and also administration.